You are listening to BensTorah.com.
In honor of Tu B'Av, we will discuss a topic that we never worked on before, and that is the topic of Shadchanim and Shadchanas. And yes, it's a real sugya, and yes, it's actually a difficult sugya, and a lamdash sugya. But before we begin the halacha aspect, I'd like to start with understanding the source of the word Shadchan. So some of you might be familiar with the Chasam Sofer. Anyone heard the Chasam Sofer? What Shadchan stands for? Sheker Dover V'Chesef Notel. That's the Chasam Sofer's... thank you, Ephraim. That's the Chasam Sofer suggests what Shadchan says. Others say it's very much the opposite. I don't know in whose name they quote it, but it's quoted that it's based on Shin Dal Chaf Nun Ki Shiber Dal Sein Choshes. Shadchan has the ability to break the walls, either between people or between us and Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, and the Shadchan has that ability to break through the walls, Shibra Dal Sein Choshes. But I want to share with you that some of the Prima Godim here writes in the first source, and he does a very thorough analysis of Psukim and Tanakh and Targumim. Shadchan might not be a Hebrew word, it might be an Aramaic word, and he goes through the various Pesukim in Tanakh with the Targum, and he presents two definitions of what the source of the word Shadchan that might be more of a pashtus than the Chasam Sofer as being an acronym might be. Prima Godim says, Yesh Lomar, the first line, Miloshen Vatishkot Ha'aretz, after the Mabel, the water settled, which is translated as Vayashoku Hamayim, and Vayashoku Hamayim, the Targum Yerushalmi translates as Shadchus Ara. In other words, to settle down, to become quiet. Similarly, the pasuk in Rus, Mitzena Menuchai, when Naomi is telling her daughters-in-law, you should each find, you should settle down with your husband. It also is called not a husband, but a Menucha. So the idea of a Shadchan is one who settles people in terms of helping them find their a certain sense of menucha. That's one pshat that he brings. And then he brings the Aruch, which is a Talmudic dictionary, who brings sources that Shadach is, in the bottom line, Milosh Mashmam Loshon Irbuv V'Kishur, one of connectiveness, connection, tying together, mixing together. So Shadchan is the one who settles person down or one who connects somebody. Gamkein Shadchan Mekasher Ma'arvan Hazug Yachad. That's just an interesting etymological introduction to what the word means. Before I get into the real sugya in terms of what is Shadchanus, why should you have to pay, I want to start off with something that is actually halach l'maisa very much. And it's a total tangent. It's something that I would like to talk about more about Rikhus maybe over the coming year. But could a person pay Shadchanus with Meiser Ksachim? Especially if a person knows that they have a wedding, God willing, coming up, and they're going to have to shell out a lot of money for a wedding, and wedding clothes, and wedding, all the other payments that are coming along, so they have to, for a lot of people, they don't even have enough money for the wedding, let alone an extra, $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever, or $10,000, whatever it is, for the Shadchanus.
Why would it be
so,
tzedakah?
So that's what we have to discuss. Does Meister only go for tzedakah, or does it not? And we will find a very interesting halacha. That the Shulchan Aruch, that is not just what's in the Shulchan Aruch. Look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number 2. This is the end of Hilchas Tzedakah, which is the very, in Hilchas Tzedakah in the Shulchan Aruch, there's very little about Meiser, except for just about this line. Everything else, you have many simonim, but they're all about Tzedakah, not Meiser. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and there's a very fundamental yesod, this with the discussion we're about to have, source number 234, that really has ramifications in extremely many applications, as you'll see in a moment. Ein lasos meister shalot dvar mitzvah. You want to give your meister to the shul? Sorry. Mikvah? Nope. Hatzalah? Absolutely not. Chai Lifeline? Nope. And just about every other tzedakah organization that you can imagine, that is not an appropriate place to give your meister money. Kagon, for example, you should not give neros lebeis knesset, you shouldn't pay the electric bill in shul, or shadvar mitzvah. Only one thing done with meister ksafin. What is that? Rak? Yitnenu la'aniyim. That's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins Meiser is supposed to work. Only give to poor people. Which, if you want to consider it patterned after the Miser Doraisa that we know of in the Torah, Miser was to the Levium, who were poor people sitting and learning. And that's how all the poskim assume is the ideal way to give Miser to poor people who are sitting and learning. Shulchan Aruch says clearly, you can't give it to any of the mitzvos that we like giving our Miser money to. So, however, comes the Shach and quotes the following. He says, he brings a mashal, who says, let's say there's a certain mitzvah. There's a certain mitzvah that I wouldn't be giving. I wouldn't be doing this mitzvah. There's a certain sefer that I wouldn't buy. There's a certain other thing that I wouldn't do this mitzvah if I had to pay cash out of my own pocket, if I had to take it from my own account. However, if I was able to use my charity account that anyway I designated for various, you know, disbursements, so then I'd be willing to get involved in this mitzvah. Meaning, I don't feel a responsible enough citizen to give $1,000 to the Erev. Let everybody else do it, right? And that's what everybody's saying, so we won't have an Erev. But if I have that attitude, so I'm not going to give $1,000 from my checking account for the Erev. It's going to happen anyway. People in Lawrence are going to have to carry. People in Farakwe have to carry. Then somebody else will do it. But once you say I'm allowed to use my Maisa money, then I will do this mitzvah. I will be mitztarif in this mitzvah of Erev. Then let's look at the Marashah side. Then it would be okay. Marashah, source number 3, Marashah Hadrisha Kosvu, B'Shem Chuas Maram, the Kol Mitzvah Shabbat Tavel Yodov. There's a mitzvah that comes your way. You could go on Leo's Baal Bris, you could be a Sandik, Ol Hachnas Chasna Makal L'Chuppa, you could Hachnas Eskala, V'Chiai Gavna. Similarly, V'Chain Liknos Svarm Lomod Bahen, Ol Hashil Lacherim. You want to give the shul money to buy more Svarm for the library. If you don't have enough cash on hand, you wouldn't have, you know, if you had to use your own checking account, you wouldn't. However, since if you'd be able to use your Meiser money, you would, then that's the Marshal who seems to argue on this line of the Shulchan Aruch that I told you above. Now look at this. What about your children? My son, I was once having this conversation with my son, and he said, I don't remember what I said, but he said, but you have to take care of me anyway. What did I tell him? No, I don't. Hey, once you're 6 years old, I don't have to take care of you. Medina de Gemara. So what happens if I choose to be nice enough and pay for certain expenses that my 7-year-old son has? Boy, girl. Oh, I'm not obligated to, Medina de Gemara. What happens if they're 18 years old? What are they doing sitting in my house, sleeping in my bed, eating food from my kid from my refrigerator? Let them go get a job. They're 18 years old. Legally, they could work. Certainly, if they're 21 or 25. Look at what he quotes the Marami Rotenberg, who was the God of Hadar for the Rush, of course. He was the one who was taken prisoner and not redeemed. Truest Marami Rotenberg, Kosav, Ulefazer Maasros of the Bonav Hagdolim. Ah. Could you spend Meiser on your older children, She'enu Chayv L'Tapo Bahem, who you're not obligated halachically to take care of once they reach a certain age? Mutter, wow. You could use your Meiser money to take care of your older children who are old enough.
It makes more sense than the previous thing. The previous thing has something to do with
poor people. You're right, you're right. You're saying this is even more obvious, this should be more obvious, even if you wouldn't agree to the first. This should be more obvious. Fine, agreed. And he says, look, because if your father's poor, you could give him money. So your older children, if you have a 20-year-old kid who's in college, who doesn't have a job, well, because he's in college, or she's in college, or he's in yeshiva, or she's in seminary, so it sounds from this that you might be able to...
Because you're preventing him from becoming a nanny. If you don't give him, he'll be a nanny.
No, they are a nanny. They don't have anything.
They are a nanny.
You just constantly bankroll them so that their nanny is bankrolled by Papa Big Bucks. So
if you have a son in Kol, that's part of my certificate.
That's an even higher level, because that's mamish, someone who's sitting and learning, which is the Achra the Poskim say is a higher level of, is the original, that was what Meister Rishon was, to give the Levim. What were the Levim doing? They were teaching Torah, learning and teaching Torah. And that's all the Poskim assume that would be the highest level. Fine. So based on this, could we make the following cheshbon? I want to take care of my older son or my older daughter. Part of taking care of them is what? Marrying them off. Part of marrying them off is paying their shadchanos. So could I use my ma'aser money to take care of them, to marry them off? And part of marrying them off is not just paying for the wedding, but paying for the shadchanos. look at the Shulchan Aruch a little bit later. Hanos lebanav avnosav hagdolim she'enu chayvim mizanoseihem. Right? You don't, after a certain age, you don't have to provide for your older children. Why are you paying them? Why are you giving them money? Ah, kedei lelamid es habanim Torah ulahanik habanos b'derech yishara. So for example, if you want your daughter to go on the right path, so you're either going to be sending her to a Jewish high school, or perhaps you're going to be willing to spend a little bit of money so she marries the kind of guy you want her to marry and not, you know, some guy she's going to meet in a bar downtown Manhattan. So if you want her to meet that kind of guy, you have to be willing to, you know, play the part in the Jewish community and have the kind of wedding and the kind of shadchanas and therefore, hareze b'chlal tzedaka. So accordingly, the poskim say that if, and here's the big if before a person involves a shadchan in their child's, let's say, relationships, or before a person engages, not in the sense of capital E but a lowercase e, engages a shadchan to be involved with their family, if the person has intent, if I have to pay shadchan, so whatever shadchan I might have to pay, I do right now intend that I will use my miser money, based on the sources that we just said, one can use miser money for shadchanas. However, this is a big however, let's say you got a shadchan, and Baruch Hashem, they did a good job, and now so-and-so is a chas and so-and-so is a kala. What we're going to see right now, we'll see in a moment, is there is a chiyuv to pay the shadchan. I didn't say it's a nice thing. I didn't say it's a thank you payment, a thank you gift. I didn't say it's a token of appreciation. There's a chiyuv, as we'll see in a moment. Once something is a chiyuv, a person is not allowed to be yotzei their chiyuvim with miser money. You have a chiyuv to buy in lieu of an esrog. Therefore, you can't use your miser money to buy a lieu of an esrog. You have a chiyuv to eat matzah. Therefore, you're not allowed to use your miser money to buy matzah. Once you already got a shidduch, or for whoever in the family, once a shidduch happened, you have a chiyuv to pay the shadchan. Once there's a chiyuv to pay the shadchan, you're not permitted to use your miser money to exempt yourself to fulfill that obligation that you have. That's what we're about to see. Let's see right now. Let me just prove to you that it is a chiyuv, and it's not just a token of appreciation, it's not just a thank you gift, but it's a bona fide financial obligation that we'll see right now is enforceable in a
court
of law. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and this is going to be as explicit as you could get. Tavu, source number six. Tavu, this is the Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Pei Zayin. Tavu b'schar, Shulchan Aruch is talking about Shadchanus himself. This does mean Shadchanus, by the way. Somebody says, I found a shidduch for your son, for your daughter. Give me, I want $1,000. And the other person replies and says, "Zeko for Vama Shalom, yeah, Shadchan Shalom. What do you mean? I met her at a ball game. Oshaatayno Shabenai, or some other kind of, you know, dispute in terms of the nature of the claim." Dino kibishar tvius mamon. The din in this case is exactly like any other financial claim. Vinishbon al kach. You would have to, whatever shvuas you would make from odeh b'miktsas and shvuas heses, you'd have to make equally in a case of a shadchan fee. So you see from this Shulchan Aruch clearly that it's treated 100% like a regular legal financial obligation, no less than any other money that's owed money that's owed between two parties. Okay, so that's just setting it down what it is, that there is an obligation to pay a shadchan.
Well, let's say you didn't agree on
the question. That's a different question. So then the post can say the going rate will be the obligation. The going rate. In the same way, if you get yourself, we'll see, give us 3 minutes and we'll see.
How do you determine the going rate?
You do what I do.
In some circles, the going rate could be $10,000.
So you have to find out in your circle. You're right. So in your circle.
It's a very subjective.
You're right. It's a hard market to identify.
I don't appreciate the proof.
What?
I don't appreciate the proof.
From this Shulchan Aruch, yeah?
What's the proof?
The proof is the fact that we said, the Shulchan Aruch says, this is like all other monetary claims. That's telling you that it's a real monetary claim. Relatively explicit. Let's talk about the obligation of the shadchan is the person who gets married, the chassan himself. Let's assume he has the real obligation.
The chassan?
The chassan, yeah. The chassan and the kal. Let's assume they have the real obligation. Nowadays, we take care of it for our children. But the real obligation is the chasen and the kala. No. The real obligation is on the chasen and the kala.
Why? Your father has had a mitzvah to marry his son off.
That's a nice mitzvah.
Does
the son also has a mitzvah to get himself married.
Yeah, but this is one of the mitzvahs the father has on his son.
Yeah, but it's not the same as the son's mitzvah to get married himself off.
Is it a mitzvah to get married or a mitzvah to get rid of you?
That's right.
The Rishonim talk about,
and the Rishonim say it's machlokes Rishonim. Kedushin is a mitzvah. Some say, since it's a mitzvah to get married, the only way to do it properly is through marriage. The only way to prove it properly is through marriage, so there might be a mitzvah to marry. That's a different sugya, not for now. Let's see the sources. Why do I have to pay a shotgun at all? You tell me it's not only you should pay, you must pay, it's a financial obligation, it's not even just a thank you gift. Where does this come from? It comes from this following. I'm going to present two or three sources right now. The first one is going to be a Gemara Bava Metzia. Gemara Bava Metzia is talking about a safsar. Safsar, we'll see what that means. Amrli Ada Bar Abba L'Rava. V'habay L'meisa Zuzi L'Safsir. You have to give money to the safsar. To the safsar. What's a safsar? Middleman. Says Rashi, safsar is a sirsar, otherwise known as a middleman or a broker. Shemevakesh L'moch Rechitin. I have wheat. I have spices. I need people to buy my spices. So what do I get? I get a broker to find companies that need spices who will buy them from me. That's called a broker. A broker. A broker, this Gemara says, you need to pay a broker. Okay? Let's see the application of this. Application is the Gemara in Bava Basra, Pezayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is talking about let's see the Gemara in Bava Basra. Hamocher Yayin v'shem l'chavero. You sell wine, v'hukro, shehuza, goes up in value, down in value. Skip a few words. Im hayasir sebeinehem, and if there was a broker in between, somebody who has tried to match the seller who manufactures the wine or the oil, and buyers who will buy it from him, nishbra chavis, nishbra l'sarsir. If there is this broker, the one who will bear the loss for a broken barrel will be the sarsir. Why will the broker, the middleman, bear the loss? So Rashi says, listen carefully to this. Rashi says, because how does a middleman work? The middleman buys it from the... He's a reseller. He's a reseller. So if it's like a wholesaler. You make... What are you? You're a wholesaler or you're a manufacturer?
I'm a wholesaler.
You're a wholesaler. So you buy it from India. You sell it to the stores and the people that make the spicy foods. Okay? So you bought that stuff. So since you bought it, and if the barrel would break, who loses it? The guy from India who sold it to you? No, the guy who's buying it from you? No, it's by you.
Let's say dropship.
Since it's by you.
Dropshipping.
Since it's by you, you bought it from somebody else and you're selling it. What?
I'm not a broker, I'm a principal.
Exactly, that's what Rashi learns. Rashi learns that the sirsur is a principal, but a middleman principal. In other words, he buys from the grower, he buys it for himself, then he buys it, but not to eat, but rather to sell wholesale, to another party. That's what Rashi says. So according to Rashi, why would the loss of this barrel of spices be borne by the Golombek company? Because it's yours. Comes the Tosis and says, no, you're missing the boat. You know why the Per Shivam, look at source number 9, after he brings Rashi, he cites Rashi, Perisha Kunjas Fisha Sarsur Knaala Atzmo, Vechozer Omar Chalabalabais. The Sirsur, that broker, that middleman, is not really a broker, he's a middleman. He bought it for himself and sells it to somebody else, to a Balabais. And if it broke while it was with him, so he has to suffer the loss. Tosus says, Tema, for whatever his cash is, he rejects Rashi, and look how Tosus will explain what the Sirsur is. Perish Rivam, Hayasirsur Beinem, etc., etc. Nishpura lasirsur, bottom line, kagon shalohaya machmas ones, ela shaloh nizhar yafe b'medida. The reason why the sirsur has to pay is because he wasn't careful. And it was worse than an ones. Where do we know the words ones, that you don't pay if it's an ones, you only pay if there's a little bit of something wrong?
The shomer, what is he?
Oh, those are words we only use for, what kind of shomer?
Shomer sachar.
Shomer Sachar is Pater if it's onus, but he's chayev if it's like neva vavid, if there's a little bit of a pshia. So what does Tosfos say? You know why a seerster is chayev, has to bear the loss if something breaks in his hands? Not because he owns the barrel of whatever it is, the box of spices, but because he's a
shomer
sachar, meaning all he is a broker. He's only a broker, but he's a broker. Oh, he's getting paid. Oh, what do I see from Tosos? I see from Tosos that a broker gets paid. I'll say that along this one very again one more time. According to Tosfos, we know, the Mishnah tells us that if there is a grower and a small store, and in the middle is a wholesaler who has a barrel and it breaks while it's by the wholesaler, Rashi says the wholesaler bears the loss because it was his. He bought it and he's going to resell it. It broke by him, so he lost it. Tosfos says that's not correct. The reason why the middleman has to bear the loss is because the middleman is a shomer sachar. That means whose is it? It's not his, but he's still going to be held accountable, even though it's not his spices or his oil. It's somebody. It's either that guy's or that guy's, but he's a shomer sachar. Why is he a shomer sachar? Because, you see that middlemen, that brokers, automatically have what coming to them? Compensation. That's why the middleman is the broker is a compensated person. What do you call a compensated person who's holding something that belongs to somebody else? A shomer sachar. You don't like something, Mr. Glum. Okay, fine.
Really,
all I'm trying to show is one thing. All I'm trying to show
really
is that you have a Tosfos explaining a Mishnah that brokers are paid. Right? We have a broker here. You certainly hope that a broker is paid, right? Yes, that's your parnasa. Brokers better be paid. Now,
but that's his business. He's not
fine.
Really a showman in today's world.
Okay.
That's
fine. Now,
that's what's in the contract.
Why is the broker paid? If you have a broker, a real estate broker is the easiest way to do it. Forget a broker who's trying to, you know, match a seller of chita to a buyer of chita. You have a guy who wants to sell a house or a building. You have a guy who wants to buy a house or a building. And a broker is going to, we'll call him the shadchan, between these two parties. Let's look at what the Rush says. And the Rush talks about, in source number 11, and the Rush is going to talk about brokers and broker fees, and you'll see why, where does this broker fee come from? Why do you have to pay a broker for their
service?
For their service? And we also have to wonder, what about if I didn't go ask him to please work for me? If I ask a guy, please be my broker, do you have to sign something when you that exclusive list, that's if you take a risk.
Then he becomes an agent.
What? Become an agent. Then you become an agent or a worker, and then you have to pay somebody for their work, their agents, whatever it is. But let's say he comes and just says, I want you to know, you're looking to buy a house. I know somebody's looking to sell a house. Maybe you could make a deal. Maybe you could work something out. Let's see how that will fit into the idea of brokerage, and with that we'll be able to also understand how that would fit into the idea of a shadchan. Meaning, if I go to a shadchan and say, I'm going to give you $5,000 if you find me a shidduch, right? So then I can understand that if he finds me a shidduch, I have to give him $5,000. Okay, let's say though, I'm just minding my own business and a lady comes over to me and says, oh, I've got the perfect girl for you.
Right.
I didn't hire her. I didn't promise her anything.
Right.
And then she says, she's a sweet girl. Here's her phone number. Call her tonight. I call her tonight and lo and behold, a few whatever's later, we're engaged. So did I hire her? Is she working for me? Is she my shliach? She's nothing. She's just a talkative lady who likes butting into everybody's business, and she's a man. She gave me a phone number and she got me to call this girl, and I married the girl. So do I have to pay that person? They're not working for me. We didn't have any agreement. We didn't have there was no prior negotiation or
contract.
His chayvus or contract. Let's see this Rush. This Rush will open our eyes to a very fascinating understanding for what is the foundation for the chiyuv of a broker, and therefore also a shadchan. Says the Rush, sometimes in one deal there could be numerous brokers. Okay, without getting into that complicated, anyone who's a real estate agent knows that sometimes you get multiple brokers, one for the right, one for one listing, one for the. You can have multiple brokers for a deal. Fine. Look at the end of the second line. Kizeh pashatu. Shehasarsurim v'hashadchanim, the brokers and the shadchanim, in nigmar hadavar below sirsur. If you find your own apartment, or if you find your own wife at a singles event, in hamochanos in klum, you don't have to pay a broker fee. You don't have to pay a shadchanis fee.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Fine, skip the next paragraph. Look at the underlying line. You know what this idea of a brokerage fee is like? V'damyu l'ha de perka goes a basra. The Gemara talks about yorad lahatzil v'lo hitzil mahu. Yorad lahatzil v'lo hitzil mahu emrelei zu she'ela. So that's a case where somebody tried to help you and they weren't successful. So there you have to pay them at least for their efforts. Which if you would apply that to brokers or to shadchanim, that means even if they set you up for a date that doesn't work, you might have to pay. Even if they show you a listing that you don't end up buying, you might have to pay at least for their tircha. Not for a full brokerage fee, but at least pay for their tircha. If somebody does work for you and a broker, you ask a broker, please help me find something. Even if you don't end up buying, you should at least pay him for his tircha.
Yeah, but shachanis is a kapalonis. Otherwise, it's frumster.com. You pay to get the.
Hold on. You're going to be chavin to the grouch, we'll see soon. The Yeshmer Abosai, the last line of source number 11, which I have B. Shemidamim schar shadchanim lahoysa ma'aboras lefanav. Ma'aboras lefanav is something that. Let's talk about it right now. This is a famous story that you might have heard of. It's a business ethics question. A person who has a terrible terminal disease. And they find out that there's one medicine that will cure them, and he goes to the pharmacy, and the pharmacist smells an opportunity to make a buck, or thousands of bucks, and he says, you know what, I'm the only pharmacy that's open right now, or in this area, or that carries this medicine, I'll happily give you what you need to take right now, over the next few days, and he jacks up the price for $50,000. So you say, sure, put it on my tab, you take it, you need it, you're going to die if you don't get it. And you take the pills, then he takes it to court next. He asks you a week later to pay $50,000. You say, are you kidding? These are $5 a pill. I just happened to need it. And you caught me at an urgent moment when I really needed it. I'm just paying $5, which is what it cost. He says, no, we agreed. We had a binding agreement between us that you pay me $50,000. I said, yeah, but I only did it because I had no choice. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch in source number 12. Somebody's running out of jail. Escaped to prison, right? He's a jailbird. He broke free, and now there's a river, and there's one guy with a ferry. And the guy with the ferry says, hey, there's either a ferry or a water passage before. I'll give you a lot of money for this quick ferry ride. You don't have to pay the large amount that you promised. You only have to pay the little, whatever a ferry ride across this river should be. Fine. Haga, skip the next line to source 13. Haga says the Rama, Yesh Omrim, Hod De'en Lo'el Escharo, Haino B'davar She'en Regilus Liten Alav Harbe. That's only for something that you don't normally pay a lot for, like a ferry ride. Aval B'davar She'derek Liten Harbe. Oh, but let's say it's something that sometimes people would pay a lot of money. For example, Kagon Hashba'as Shadim, right? Guy has a dibuk. How much would you pay to get rid of your dibuk? You'd pay a lot of money, right? Okay, it doesn't happen so often nowadays, at least in our community. Oh, Refua. Oh, I know people who would be willing to pay lots of money. I know, there are surgeries that could cost $250,000 if you had all the medical costs. So a guy is going to give you a Refua. People pay $250,000 for that. Oh. Then Chayev Litin Lo Kol Ma Shehisna Imo. What about Shadchanus? Again, I make a deal with the shadchan and you find me a girl, you get $50,000. And she finds me the girl. The shadchan finds me the girl. V'shadchanas ein lo ella scharo. Af al pi shehisni malasis lo harbe. Even though you made the deal to give $50,000, how much do you have to pay? Market value is. 1,000, 1,500, 1,800, whatever it happens to be. 2,500 maybe? Fine. If you want to know, the Shach in source 14 happens to say it to someone who argues. Okay, leave that aside. What we're assuming here is that you hired somebody to work for you. I hired a ferryman to ferry me across the river. I hired a pharmacist or a doctor to heal me. So then the question is, if I hire you, then we can negotiate how much exactly I'm going to have to pay. I'm definitely going to have to pay for what you, the work that I hired you to do. I hired you to be my shadchan and you do it. I have to pay you. The question is just, do I have to pay an exorbitant amount? Or can I get away with just the going rate? But look at this gra. This gra is going to be a totally different way to look at broker fees and to look at the obligation for a shadchan. Says the gra. He's going on the Ramo, who's actually speaking about shadchanos. This is a gra who's speaking directly about shadchanos. Din hashadchanos kasav maharam shahu midin. What's the source for that which one is obligated to pay a shadchan? Midin hayored, underlined in source number 15. Hayori l'stei chaver shelo birshus. Let's say I go to your backyard. You're at work. I come into your backyard and I build you a pool. By the time you come back from work, you have a 7-foot deep pool, kidney-shaped pool in the back of your house. You come back and you say to me, I didn't ask you to build me a pool. And I say, well, I didn't have any work today, but now you have a pool, so pay me for the pool. So who's right? You didn't hire a pool. You didn't buy a pool. On the other hand, he gave you a pool. The halacha is, you have to pay. You have to pay. You might not have to pay whatever, but you're going to have to pay. Let's say somebody walks over to me. Now let me ask you a question. That guy who built the pool, that pool builder, was there a pre-existing agreement between the parties?
No.
He did it on his own volition.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I didn't ask him to do it. I still have to pay. Says the Gra, that's pshat with a shadchan also. I don't ask this lady anything. I never spoke to this lady before. She got my name from some list or speaking to one of her friends, and she calls me up and says, I've got a great idea for you. I didn't ask her for it, but she offers it to me. And she gives me the girl's phone number. I call the girl, we go out and we get married. So what did she do? She went to my backyard and built a pool. Or in this case, she came to me on her own volition and handed me a phone number, and I ended up benefiting from it. So says the Gra, that's the source that is a chiyuv, like any other chiyuv in Hilchas Choshen Mishpat, where I would, just like I'd be obligated to pay for that pool, whatever amount, that's a different question, but I'm obligated to pay that guy who I never asked to build me a pool. So too, I'd be obligated, midin yored l'stei chavero, somebody goes to my backyard and builds me something without asking, I have to pay this shadchan who I never even asked to set me up.
You acted upon it.
I acted upon it. You're right. I hear what you're saying.
Cool.
That should make it even more clear.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all the more reason. You're just saying so, all the more so.
Yeah.
If when I don't act on it, I have to pay, certainly when I take their advice and I act on it, I should have to pay, all the more so. You're just strengthening the Gra's application. That's a Gemara. That's a clear Mishnah. Those are Mishnayas that's
pool,
a given.
By the pool goes the other way also. Because if you would have said, I want you to remove the pool, or you have to pay for the damage to my property.
Everyone agrees that a house with the given is that a house with a pool is more valuable than a house without a pool. That's a given.
Yeah,
you're right.
I'm saying, but if the guy, let's say the guy had a face or whatever in the back.
He wanted his tomatoes.
So
we're not talking about that. We're talking about a case where it's a given. We're talking about a case where it's a given that.
Yeah, we're talking right now, what's a normal case.
Right. Okay, so what do we have here? We have something very important. We have this Gra. This Gra is fabulous. This Gra, in the next, we don't have to see it in the next source, is saying the same thing, but he's saying it by a broker. Why do you have to pay a broker? Gentlemen, what would be the halacha if somebody, you're looking for a house. I go over to you, you don't come to my brokerage house, you don't come to my broker office, You don't call, look up a real estate broker in the phone book. We're sitting at the, wherever we are, and I say, aren't you looking to buy a house around here? I see you visiting the neighborhood again and again. You know, I think there might be a nice house for you on my block. There's a guy moving out. I want you to be the first one to know. You should go look at that house. So do you have to pay a brokerage fee? 1,000% yes.
Sure.
I'm not a professional broker. I'm not a, you didn't ask me for it, but I
like
gave you, I built a pool for you. Exactly. no difference if I give you a girl, a wife, a husband. No difference if I give you a pool. No difference if I give you a house to a shidduch to the apartment or building or house. You would have that obligation of your real estate dechaver. If you want to know where this halacha is, that if I go to your backyard and build a pool, that you have to pay, even though I never asked you for a pool, that's source 17 on the bottom. You're welcome to look at if you would like. What I want to talk about now. To finish off, there's a lot to do. I don't think we're going to do all of it. But a question that really started me on this whole sugya. Somebody in this shul, Baruch Hashem, got engaged at some point in the past year since I came. And the family asked me when they're going to pay, right? We saw that shadchanos is not a nice thing, it's an obligation. Clear obligation that one does not have a choice whether or not they want to pay or don't want to pay. Even if they didn't hire a shadchan, even if they didn't promise anything, a shadchan just offered it to them, they have to pay. So the question is, when should they pay? Should they pay when the shidduch is, you know, when the couple gets engaged, or do they pay at the wedding? What? Hillel says what? 15th anniversary. Once you know it's past. I remember hearing Dr. Pelkovitz was once giving an in-service to the Sanda Mashkichim in YU, when I used to be a Sanda Mashkichim in YU, and he pointed out an interesting statistic that in the numbers for divorce, they say the highest levels of divorce, I think, are when children are adolescents. When children are like 16 years old, that's the highest number of divorce rate, because it's the most stress from financially and kids causing problems. So anybody who has teenagers could appreciate that.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
You're saying the buyer has to pay a commission?
Whoever is normally paying the commission. So the seller. So, yeah, whoever normally would pay the commission. Yeah. Fine. Okay. So why is it an important question whether you pay at the engagement or you pay at the marriage? Well, first of all, do I have to make myself, if I'm tight on cash, do I have to really, you know, put my money together and work out my finances so I could pay now? Or do I have 4 months to wait, 5 months to wait, 2.5, whatever it is, a few months to wait? That's one point. But perhaps more significantly, what's the nafkamina? If it breaks off, what was my obligation? Was my obligation to the shadchan? What was the shadchan's money for? Was the shadchan's money for getting people to agree to get married, or
to get people married?
That's a very fundamental question. What are you paying the shadchan for? With a very big nafkamina, whether the payment will be now, and if the engagement breaks off, will you have to pay the shadchan anyway?
I mean, the goal is to get married, not just to have
you've taken a very good position. A doctor, you pay the doctor whether the surgery is successful or not, right? Okay, I hear what you're saying.
But you could sue.
I hear what you're saying. That's only if it's malpractice, not if it doesn't work. That shadchan didn't lie, just two people didn't work together. Fine. So look at the...
Now, Rabosa,
I want to tell you the most incredible Nes Nigla that happened to me last night. I was working on this shaila yesterday, preparing for this shiur. This shaila, the source 18, I cut and pasted from the Daikei Moshe yesterday. Last night, I went to David Malik, our previous president, who I'm very grateful for bringing me to the shul. His grandson got married last night in the Marina Del Rey. The Masada Kedushin was Rabbi Kreisworth, is the son of Rabbi Chaim Kreisworth, the great Rabbi Chaim Kreisworth from Antwerp's son. The shadchan was Rav Daniel Kalish. Who's Rav Daniel Kalish? He's Aaron Rabbi Kalish's son. Okay? So, Rav Daniel Kalish is a Rebbe in Connecticut. Maybe it was the Chassan's Rebbe, I don't know. And they were like, he was a shadchan. He was a chashuv talmid chacham, as you can imagine, Rabbi Kalish his son is ought to be. And so the chassan, David Malik's grandson, honored the shadchan, Rabbi Kalish, to be the eighth kedushin. Let's talk about it right now. Listen to what happened in a split second. Rabbi Kreiser said, "Wait a second. You're a shadchan. Your money is based on what?" Your money is riding on this wedding. You want to make sure this wedding goes through, don't you?
Rabbi, the one chassan of Kreisberg's father was my son. And on the video, he asks the Edom as they're signing, "Are you a shadchan in the shidduch?" And he's like,
"Wow!" So that's he's following his father's minhag. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. They asked Daniel Kalish to be the aide, and Rabbi Kreisberg under the chuppah said, "Sorry, you're the shadchan, and therefore you have vested interest in making this shidduch go through, and therefore you are a pasul aidus, you're a negeva davar, and therefore they had to find another aide." And what was the nace? The nace is that I was working on this sugya yesterday morning, yesterday afternoon. 4 hours later, I'm at this wedding, and they told me, "You'll never imagine what you can't believe what happened." But now let's understand where this is coming from, and you'll appreciate his psak with a little bit more of a depth. Source number 18. He presents that the Darkei Moshe is the Ramah before the Ramah in his commentary on the tour, based on which usually the Ramah paskins what he paskins. Al Dvar, Schar Shadchanos. When do you pay the Schar Shadchanos? Nira, it seems, the Fumriyata at first glance. Until people are actually married. Not like Hillel said. Until they're actually married, you don't pay Shadchanos. But Hillel is from the Galil HaElyon. He's from Galil HaElyon, is not talking about the Upper Galilee in Israel. Ramah lived in Krakow. So some place in northern Poland, I guess, was what he called the Upper Galilee, some northern part of where the Jewish settlement in Eastern Europe was. There, no gin ligvos miyad. There, the minhag is to pay right at the shidduch. Fine. Skip two lines. Venira, dim chazra charkach. If the parties renege, the engagement breaks off. In tzrichen l'shadchen, do they have to pay the shadchen or not? It's going to depend on these two minhagim. Tol enami depends. It's hanging also b'din zeh. Keep a makush nog in the shalim miyad, in the place where you pay immediately upon engagement. So the second he got the shadchan, did his job, got them engaged, he's owed money. Im kein svir le de miyad nigma pula. So he did his work. You have to pay him for his work. Shrichan l'shalim lo. On the other hand, b'makush nog in shalol l'shalim miyad, if the minhag is not to pay immediately, only at the wedding, im chazrei shrichan l'shalim lo. Exactly as we established the question at hand, based on the chakira of what's the chiyuv for getting them married, and that's going to determine when the minhag to pay will determine whether or not you have to pay for a broken shidduch.
It doesn't matter if they get divorced afterwards. Once you get divorced, that's clearly. You have to give back the money.
No, you don't have to give back the money. By the way, what happens if a guy marries a woman and gives her a diamond ring?
The Kaddishah. The New York State boy, you have to give back.
What?
Yeah, so
you have to give back the diamond ring?
I was taking the bar, someone asked me this shot that came up. It may have been a broken engagement. But clearly...
I actually thought the law is not like that. That's why I'm surprised.
It's interesting. Okay. I wouldn't have known this, but the lawyer in the shul asked me, also, he's doing the bar, and I remember looking it up. I think it was an engagement.
So you're saying that's Sivlonas.
On the state law, it could be different.
Okay. So that could be after marriage. I thought the one keeps.
No, marriage could be the story.
Okay, fine. Okay, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm not sure. Okay. How does the Ramah paskin? So how do we paskin? Do you have to pay? With the Darkei Moshe cited two different minhagim. How do we paskin? When do you have to pay? Meaning, that's where this whole shaila started. The guy from the shul called me up and said, "Rabbi Orlian, my mechutin wants to pay. They got engaged already. We had the vart. And I want to, you know, it's easier for me if I wait a few months. So when do we have to pay?" So what do I answer him?
Depends
how
on
do
a minute.
The Ramah says, Taka. I thought I quoted the Ramah. That's the Darkei Moshe. But the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch actually makes that point. What?
Number 10,
thank you. Go back to source number 10. Yeah. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? This is the psak which I told the person. Then we'll finish with one cute anecdote. Hashad Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat Hilchas Shluchin Kuf Pei Hey. There are about three places in Choshen Mishpat that the concept of a broker and a shadchan appear, and there this is one of them. Hashadchan Havi Kamos Yisur. A shadchan is the same thing as a broker. Vim Hashadchan Rotsi Shishamu Lom Yad Schar Shadchanos. V'Habaylam Einim Rotsi L'Shayim Arhan Yisur. Right, the shadchan wants to get paid right away. And the people want to wait to see if it's really gonna, you know, the wedding's gonna happen. Tolui b'minhag ha-medina. Fine. Skip. Underline line. U'b'makom shem tzar she'ein tzarech l'shalim lo'at ha-nisuin. If you don't have to pay till the marriage, then of course, if the engagement breaks, then you don't have to pay. So we have to find out the minhag. So what do I do? What is the minhag?
You would have to. I mean, what? If you gave the money, you're not getting it back. So it's
hold on a second. It's going to be. That's only because of Suffolk, not because of Vadek.
Says that's the, that
what?
Source 18, you're right. And if the purpose of it to give it at the engagement, it means the purpose of the shotgun was to get them to.
No, it's not that you does that deemed the purpose. This is what the minhag is, deems what the definition of shotgunus is. Hold on. I just want to mention one point. We'll finish, and then maybe next week we'll finish this sugya up with some more aspects. So what did I do? I had a good friend in Lakewood. His name is Rabbi Meir Levy. Rabbi Meir Levy is one of the big shadchanim, one of the biggest shadchanim in Lakewood. He made Biedermans, both shidduchim for Ari Biederman, who's in our shul. And I remember him from my days in Lakewood. So I looked up his number and I said, Meir, how you doing? Long time no speak. I have a question for you. I don't want to know about a boy and I don't want to know about a girl. I want to know, what's the minhag? When do people pay shadchanim? He told me, again, at least in Lakewood, I don't know if this is wishful thinking or this is what it is, he said 95% of people pay shadchanos right after the engagement and about 5% later at the wedding. So again, maybe that's Lakewood. I don't know if that's here, you know, in our community or the general Queens, Far Rockaway, whatever, Five Towns community. I don't know if 5% means it's not everybody. I don't know how to look at the 5%. It's probably, if a shadchan says 95-5, it probably means closer to 90-10, or 80-20, or 70, whatever it is. Right, we saw Shekhar Dover Kesef Noto, right? Oh no, Chas V'Shalom, he's a wonderful, Erlich, honest, and
he's
wonderful person.
He's right away, you know, we do about that stuff.
So it still could bake, and it still be talion minhag. It still be talion minhag. I think by the chassidim, the minhag is to do it at the tanaim. Either way, there's talion minhag, and what we do see at least is that shadchanos is a chiyuv meikar hadin, enforceable in court. Either because you got him to be your worker for you, like a poel, or as the Gros says, he did a job for you even without you asking, and you have an obligation, as though somebody built a pool in your backyard.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.